To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, you know what to do. Just text me, and we'll respond accordingly. Joining us now, kind of a farewell radio address here, for the next 22 and a half hours, our congressman here in the 1st Congressional District, Jerry Carl, joins us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. I'm spending the next 22 and a half hours doing whatever I want to do. Well, so far, we're taking care of constituent stuff this morning, so I don't think I'm off duty yet.
Well, getting close. So the reason I wanted to get you on, we talked about this. Just, it's not so much to talk about current events and anything going on now, although you can if you so choose, but I mean, like the last 4 years, and I mean, like we can even go back during that campaign with you and Hightower and then even the primary before that with Pringle and others, you know, talk about this whole experience from just going from the county commission to the U.S. Congress and what you like, what are your best memories? What are the highlights, if you will?
Well, you know, my life has always been a roller coaster. It's been ups and downs, so it's like everybody else. And you know, you can pick a winner out because he's the one that gets up and dusts himself off and gets back in the game or the race. And you know, that's the way I've always been. It's not about losing; it's about just keep getting up. And sooner or later, you're going to win. But you know, the highs and the lows, I've been thinking about this and some of the funny things. You know, during COVID, people have no idea how we were treated, meaning Republicans. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats had control of the floor. They talked down to us. They reminded us of January 6th, virtually every conversation, every speech. We were talked down to for those of us that did not want to certify the electoral vote. And it was rough, man. I mean, they just constantly talked down to us. The place was locked down. Nobody moving around. It's the people's house. No one was allowed in the building. National Guard was there. I was thinking about one of the low points is National Guard was always around, and you really didn't give it a whole lot of thought, about where they stayed and what they ate. And I cut through a part of the Capitol that no one really uses, and they were all on the floor sleeping. There must have been 100 of them in the floor sleeping, and they had pallets of Girl Scout cookies, and that's all they had to eat. The Democrats were so ill-prepared. Washington was so ill-prepared for what they did there. Our Army, National Guard, were sleeping on the floor in their sleeping bags, and eating Girl Scout cookies for meals. They had pallets of Girl Scout cookies. I don't know who the Girl Scout was that sold them, but I bet you she got a merit badge. But you know, that was a sad moment. It really struck home to me how low as a country we had become, you know, due to COVID, due to the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and company, taking advantage of it and just beating us to death. You know, they wouldn't get on the elevator with us sometime. They did get on the elevator with us. They'd talk down to us about not wearing masks. I wasn't one of the rebellious ones. I followed the rules on the floor. When I got off the floor, and especially in my office has Alabama rules, not Washington, D.C. rules, and every office is set up that way. So I did not require a mask, and we did not have a COVID outbreak problem. We did have a couple to get it, but it was nothing serious. But, you know, the highs, Jeff, I can still feel that first time I walked on the floor. I'm telling you, I loved football growing up, and I still have dreams of going back and playing that last game, you know. And it was that feeling when you step on the floor. It was, you know, you're back in the game. You just feel like you're destined to be there and to, you know, play your best game, do the best you could or you can. And I felt that way every time I stepped on the floor. What a blessing. I'm telling you, for somebody as simple as me to wind up in Congress on that floor. But what I learned over the 4-year period is there's a lot of Jerry Carls on that floor. There's a lot of simple people that have got backgrounds that have prepared them to make decisions, for this country. And that's one of the sad things I see going on right now. I mean, everyone fusses about how much we pay Congress. Well, it's expensive to live in Washington, D.C., folks. You know, I get a little bit of a stipend now for housing. I never took any of the money for food. I get a little bit of stipend for food. But most of what you see in Congress is either people that can't get a job anywhere else, and I mean this seriously, and or you see people that are just millionaires that are bored and, you know, they want to be in politics. Well, we've got to face that and start trying to recruit younger people. You can't get a 30-something-year-old to run for Congress because they haven't acquired any wealth in their life. They got young families and they're trying to make ends meet, and Congress is not the place to do that.
Well, Congressman, yeah, you're right about that. I was just going to kind of get it back on. One of the things I will always remember about your tenure is how hard you went after Fauci, and sort of like looking at it and thinking, is there some kind of perverse incentive for him to be pushed into COVID policy that he is? And he took some heat for it. Well, when I say heat, I don't know if Dale Jackson counts, but he was sort of critical of you. But stepping out of line and saying, oh, what the hell's going on here? Why are we instituting these protocol and there's no necessarily justification or reasoning there? And you know, looking back at that, I mean, it may turn out in the end that you were right all along.
Well, follow the money. I can remember exactly where I was at. I was on Airport Boulevard when it clicked in my mind. I said, wait a minute, there's money to be made here. And he was the one to make the money, because he knew what the decisions were. He knew what the changes were going to be. He knew what mask he was going to say was the right mask, which was a 3M mask. You know, we can't look at his stock and find out he bought, you know, $2 million worth of stock in 3M the day before. We can't do that. So that's when I started preaching, you know, there's money being made here, folks. It's more than COVID. I lost friends to COVID. I get it. But it's something we've obviously changed. But with Fauci, I never let up. I think it's our job and our responsibility to question people like that until you get a straight answer. You know, and if people would have given me a straight answer, I would have backed up of him. But I never gave in to the idea that Fauci did not make money off of him. He bought one of the nicest places in Washington, D.C., or actually it's in Virginia, and I think it's about 40 acres. And you can't do that. Now, I know he makes $300,000 a year, but for a lifetime, you can't do that. Live in D.C. and take that money over and buy a place like that. It's just impossible. So he's made some good investments somewhere, and I say COVID certainly would have been a great opportunity for him to do it.
Well, it just, you know, you're right. He knew, like, specifics coming into this pandemic, which 3M mask, right? It wasn't just
he didn't know it. He made them up.
And
he didn't want everybody to look to tell him, you know, how long to stay at home and to stay at home and not work and what masks to buy and, you know, what works, what didn't work. He was the mouth for all of that. So he was in the perfect position for that. And it was quite frustrating from my standpoint. You know, I did get criticized from some people. That's okay. But I'm not one to scream fire and run out, you know, try to run out of the room either. I'm just not that type of personality, but I think Fauci certainly was one of that I pushed the most. I wish one I would have been more public with. I saw Mo Brooks' little scale of how he scaled us on border issues. Tommy Tuberville and I spent more time on border issues than probably anybody else in the state of Alabama delegation-wise. Why? Because that's what we wanted to do. I mean, we went to Panama. I went to six different countries down there, negotiated with their presidents and their leaders, trying to get them to cut the flow, slow the flow up. I knew we'd lost when I found out they were going to start, the Biden administration had figured out, you know, they was going to start flying them in. So they didn't have to count them at the border. I knew we'd lost at that point. But I wish I'd have talked more about that. I probably would be getting my suitcase packed, headed to Washington. But, you know, one of the problems with me is I just don't like to brag. I've never been a bragger. It's just not in me. But anyway, I was trying to think of some of the funny stuff. You know, when we went on the floor, they'd make us go through the metal detectors or whatever they call those things. You have to take everything out of your pockets, and, you know, they'd just strip search you. And I was standing there one day, and Nancy Pelosi come flying by me, and Maxine Waters come flying by me, and both of them wear a lot of jewelry. And that alarm's going off, and they just keep on walking. Nobody questions it. And, man, I snatched that Capitol policeman. I said, I want your superintendent. He got superintendent down there. I've got his name and number. I said, I'm going to file a complaint. I got it. If they can do it, we can do it. Well, that was a morning vote. That afternoon, somebody come walking in the cloakroom. They said, man, I don't know what's going on, but they got Pelosi and Nancy Waters out there, and they back got them stripped down to nothing, and they're cussing everybody out. I thought, yeah, win one for the little guys.
That would have made some good news at the time.
Yeah.
The one you took a lot of heat on, and I watched this, and I remember, like, when you started your campaign to keep the seat when they redistricted, it was Ukraine. Do you still stand by that? Did you think that the initial support for Ukraine was the right way to go?
You know, I wish I would have known now what I know then, because when they briefed us, and, you know, we went to a lot of briefings, when they briefed us and they explained to me that 17% of the grain was coming out of Ukraine, and the focus right now was to keep that grain coming out to feed Africa, and they were talking about Africa starving, and I bought into that, and I voted for the first money. I did. I don't think it was a lie, but it certainly was a bended truth. There was 17% of the grain, and it did make it. But what I found out later is the Chinese actually bought it on the open market. It wasn't necessarily going to go to Africa after all. So it was kind of twisted truth. So yeah, I took a little bit of heat for that. I never supported Ukraine. I've been there. I've been there on the ground. I spent a few days there. Been a few days in Poland. I saw how the Americans are. We've got set up training and helping there. I see where the money's being spent now, but I still say no. I still say no. It is the only way you're going to win that war is to financially choke Putin down, get him where he can't monetarily buy anything, and we can do that. I mean, American Express, all the card companies operate very freely in Russia with Russia money, with rubles. And we could cut that out in a heartbeat. You're talking about putting them into a tailspin, but no, they're not going to do that. You know, the lobbyists up there for the card companies are way too strong for that. But, I'd love to say that I'd go back and change and do it different, but I don't know that I would, Jeff, to be honest. If I was focused on 17% of the population starving, looking back, I'd probably do it again. Win or lose, it was a good call in my mind.
Well, it's just
it wasn't a political call; it was a humanitarian call in my mind.
It was, and I don't know. I mean, look, I do a radio show, and I hear from a certain ideological perspective. Yep. You got me?
Yep, I've lost you.
Uh-oh. Well, we'll try to get you back real quick. Congressman Jerry Carl there on the line. And as I say this, as it pertained to that, here we go. Let's see. Do we got him here?
You back? All right. I'm here now.
All right. Real quick, because we're running low on time here, but I hear from like I'm in a, you know, an ideological corner here on talk radio, and I hear from a side of it, but it certainly seemed that, at least in a Republican primary, and that people were just kind of fed up with the foreign adventurism, and they didn't really think about, you know, that 17% of the grain or whatever it was that your constituents were kind of on the side of, hey, this really isn't a U.S. problem.
I get it. I agree with them. I totally agree with them. But please don't kick somebody out of office over one vote. I think that is the silliest thing in the world to do. So if you're in Congress, you're allowed to make one mistake and they kick you out. You'll never keep anybody in Congress if that's the mentality that we use.
Well, that was a big one, though. Would you acknowledge that? For whatever reason, I don't know, but for a lot of people, that was the straw that would break the camel's back.
Yeah, it's a big one. There's a lot of money, and it's turned into a fortune. I mean, it's turned into a massive amount of money. Yeah, it was a huge, huge decision. But, you know, I made that vote based on humanitarian view, not a political view. And I knew I was going to take some heat over it. I don't think that's why I lost. It certainly didn't help me. But I don't think that's why I lost.
Well, Congressman, we're out of time, but enjoy the rest of your last day, and I'm sure we're going to get you on a whole lot more in the future.
Thank you, Jeff, and to your listeners, thank you so much for allowing me to be your congressman, and I've still got a little fuel left in the tank. I'll pop up here somewhere.
Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break here. Be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.